This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Welcome back now that it is officially fall. Later in this episode, hear about dogs and COVID-19, as well as tips for anyone who is pregnant during this pandemic. But first, these news updates. Plexiglass shields are everywhere, grocery stores, gas stations, some bars even, because of COVID-19. The plexiglass business is now booming, with sales of the glass having increased 2 to 3 times over in the last year. Despite the widespread recommendations for the plexiglass barriers and their widespread use, research on how well they work to slow the spread of COVID-19 is lacking, according to experts. One doctor, Michael Fishman, says the plexiglass is a reasonable solution, but not a replacement for masks or general distancing. There are no peer-reviewed studies on the effectiveness of the glass. A COVID-19 saliva test developed by researchers at Yale University appeared to perform at least as well as nasal swabs in a study of hospital patients, a finding that may help encourage more frequent use of self-collected samples. The approach used by the Yale team avoids the kind of issues with shortages of medical supplies that have been hampering the U.S. testing. Their approach relies on supplies hospital labs are likely to have on hand already. A new study argues that COVID-19 is likely to become a seasonal disease, similar to influenza, but not before a vaccine and greater herd immunity are achieved. In temperate regions, this would mean reduced infections in the summer and peaks in the winter. However, this seasonality is only likely to occur once a vaccine is developed and greater herd immunity is achieved. As the pandemic continues into this last half of 2020, scientists' understanding of its risks to pregnant women have shifted over time. But there are still a lot of unanswered questions about risks facing this group and what can be done to reduce those risks. Dr. Yalda Afshar is co-leading a nationwide study of more than 1,000 American women who are pregnant or recently gave birth and have had COVID-19 to seek answers to these questions. So tell us more about this study you are co-leading on expectant mothers with COVID-19. What have you learned so far?
Yeah, so the pandemic is still new, and there's a lot that we don't know about how it's affecting people, and specifically pregnant and recently pregnant women and their babies. So this is a prospective, meaning moving forward, registry of these women, and we have about 1,200 women recruited to date. And I would say overall, the data is very reassuring in that pregnant women aren't at significantly higher risk of doing worse than their non-pregnant counterparts. And so I think that is really a piece of evidence that we and many others in the scientific community are seeing over and over from different publications.
Does this evidence show that being pregnant can affect someone's chances of catching COVID-19? I mean, how can expectant and postpartum moms just reduce the risk of catching it at a vulnerable time?
Yeah, and I think the thing that we have seen and are continuing to encourage women are that just wearing a mask, especially when you're indoors and around other people, these are the same things that we tell non-pregnant folks. So wearing a mask, physical distancing, washing your hands regularly, these are truly the same tenets for pregnant women as for non-pregnant women. And then I think specific to pregnant women is really we want you to continue to get prenatal care. Obviously, everyone has concerns about COVID and being in clinics and hospitals, but rest assured that really hospitals and clinics are working incredibly hard to reduce all risk possible. We know that getting prenatal care is really important to birth outcomes for the mom and baby. So that's the one piece that we're strongly encouraging women to continue to do.
Now, when it comes to mothers that might possibly have COVID-19, is there any relationship between their baby in utero and their health, you know, as the carrier? Could there be any transmission that way?
Yeah, so really the question is, can a woman who is pregnant pass it on to her baby? And this was a central question that we were quite stressed about at the beginning of the pandemic. But what I will say over and over that we have seen are that healthy babies are being born throughout the world every day. And so the large body of data that we've seen has been that, no, it doesn't seem that the even moms who are pregnant and get COVID are passing it on to their babies. We're trying to understand possible mechanisms and rare cases that this can happen. But I'd say overall, really reassuring. And it doesn't seem that that passage actually occurs or that transmission occurs.
Can you talk about the racial disparities amongst pregnant women? Have you seen anything in your studies with that and COVID-19?
Yeah, so what we have seen, not just in our work, but in work from many, many others in the scientific community, is that, yes, there's significantly higher rates of serious illness and infection among Black, Latina, and Native American women. And so this is incredibly important to discuss. This has a lot to do with systematic barriers to care, to obtaining care. And truly, these disparities that we're seeing, especially in pregnant women, we believe are related to structural racism, institutional racism. And really, we need to talk about these disparities because they are predisposing these communities to incredibly more severe outcomes. And this is a call to action to all of us in healthcare, outside of healthcare, to really move forward and do something about these issues.
You mentioned just kind of the fear of heading into, you know, doctor's offices and hospitals. What should pregnant women know about getting their essential prenatal care, delivering the baby, and then breastfeeding the baby during a pandemic?
Absolutely. So I'd say overall, it is incredibly important to continue to get prenatal care, and it is safe. So the same tenets we discussed before, physical distancing, wearing a mask, and hand washing. I will say that all clinics are really doing similar things. They're spacing out visits. They are oftentimes limiting the number of people in clinics, and we encourage women to continue to get prenatal care, knowing that it may be a little different than how it was before March. You may have video visits with your doctors. You may have telephone calls, but continuing to get care is really important. Moving forward with a hospital birth, talking to your doctor about your fears, what their hospitals are doing to reduce the risk to you and your baby. And then lastly, you mentioned breastfeeding. We know that really breastfeeding is incredibly important to the baby. Getting baby nutrition is important. So same things, wash your hands before you breastfeed. If you are having symptoms, to wear a mask. But really, those are the big issues, and we're all working really hard to make sure moms and babies are staying safe.
Wrapping up here, Dr. Afshar, what are just some messages you want to send to expectant mothers who, just to put them at ease during this, you know, tumultuous time?
Absolutely. So I would say we're all in this together, scientists throughout the world, your obstetricians, your midwives. This pandemic has really shown how the community has come together, starting from total unknown, creating the best possible data, analyzing it, and getting it to women and their families as quickly as possible. So I would say just continue to communicate with your safety net, and that includes the physicians and the team that's taking care of you. We're sharing data, and it's truly been collaborative. And overall, it looks like pregnant women are going to do okay during this pandemic as long as they continue to do the same things we're recommending to non-pregnant women.
Now, COVID-19 has us worrying about all of our friends and family getting sick, but what about our pets? Dr. Albert Ahn has 25 years of vet work under his belt and talks to us about keeping our dogs healthy as well during a global pandemic. Dr. Ahn, what are some of the most important things we need to know when it comes to our dogs and COVID-19 right now?
The most important thing is to make sure that we are taking good care of our dogs and making sure that they get plenty of exercise and good nutrition, because both exercise and nutrition will help keep them healthy and strong.
So how can we, during this time, boost our dog's immunity?
So there are a few different ways that immunity can be boosted. One of them, as I mentioned earlier, is to feed them a well-balanced, high-quality diet. But secondly, as research has shown, getting good exercise actually can boost the immune system, because some studies have shown that stronger muscles can actually help support a healthy immune system. And one of the ways that we can help keep muscles healthy or strong, particularly in older dogs, is to use a natural supplement, something like Fortitropin, which has been shown clinically to help maintain and grow strong muscles in our canine patients.
Now, some more social things when it comes to dogs. I mean, when you're out on a walk, maybe someone forgets about social distancing and pets our dog, or maybe our dog, you know, sniffs another dog. How are these things, you know, during this time, are those kind of things we should be worrying about with our pets?
So there are two ways of looking at this. The first one is your dog at risk of developing COVID-19 from these types of interactions? And I think that the information that's out there right now shows that the likelihood of that is extremely low. So I think that from a practical standpoint, your dog becoming infected with COVID-19 is approaching zero. It's very, very low. Now, the other part of your question is, well, how about for you? If somebody were to pet your dog and then you subsequently petted your dog, is there a possibility that you might contract COVID-19 indirectly from the person who pet your dog? And there again, I think that the likelihood of transmission that way is extremely low, because we do know that COVID-19 is transmitted by aerosolized droplets. So while I wouldn't go so far as to say it's zero, I think it's extremely low. And I always tell pet parents that safe social distancing and just good personal hygiene, where you wash your hands frequently and for 20 seconds with soap and water, is always one of the best ways to protect yourselves.
So wrapping up here, it sounds like, you know, our dogs are pretty safe from getting this illness. I know we've heard about it in the news sometimes. Can you talk about just like how rare that is? Because, you know, the second I heard it was in dogs, I kind of got freaked out. And I know it's been one or two, but whenever it's in the news, they kind of blow it up, you know?
Sure. And certainly the media has brought a lot of attention and awareness to this. But what we know so far is that on a worldwide basis, we're talking about four dogs that have been shown to have the antibodies to COVID-19. And to put those numbers into a little bit more perspective, two of those dogs are from the United States. And if you consider that there are approximately 80 million dogs in the United States, we have two dogs that developed antibodies to COVID-19 that we can prove. So to me, that's a really small number, meaning 2 out of 80 million. Might there be more than just two? That is a possibility, but certainly veterinarians have been very cautious, and there are quite a few tests that have been run on dogs where pet parents are very, very nervous. And again, to just have 2 out of 80 million so far really supports the fact that this is a very low risk.
Great. Dr. An, is there anything else we should be thinking about when it comes to our pets and, you know, quarantine, the pandemic, just anything about this strange time we're all living through?
For me personally, I tell our pet parents to celebrate the human-animal bond with your dogs. Dogs are wonderful members of the family. They bring so much to us. They give us the unconditional love. They love exercise. They love to go out and play. And I would encourage people to make sure that they and their dogs are getting plenty of outside exercise, while, of course, maintaining the social distancing that is being recommended by the public health authorities. So lots of exercise is going to further strengthen the bond that you have with your pet. And enjoy these the times that you share with your dog.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with questions or give us some feedback at COVID-19 at RadioMD.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.